C2SP, number 5A.
Well, we came up to the subject of life this morning, and in interpreting the chapters, we have very often seen that when we come to the last two subjects of truth and love, that we usually then get the solution of the problem stated in the first five main tones. And this is true too here in the first part. We will see that now there is a break in the development of the subject insofar as the first subjects, mind, spirit, soul, and then life, were depicting the beliefs of spiritualism. And we were seeing that that spiritualism is a belief, and a very strong belief, because we have found out that we are all spiritualists, believing in the mixture of life and body, of life and matter. We want to have life in matter. We want to have spirit in matter, soul in matter. We want to have mind in matter, intelligence in matter. We all want that. And so we all are spiritualists, and therefore the spiritualistic phenomena is a hard problem to tackle and to solve, and it takes a higher understanding to get out of that ever-recurring spiritualistic belief. If we just think over the first main tones again, now I do that not just to repeat myself or to try to get as boring as possible. I do it because I see in it a method in science how to make a subject one's own, to make one subject one's own spiritually, and not just to have the letter straight and correct, but to ponder what one has found out, and not just stop there where one has found out something. But then really comes the most important thing, to ponder it, to go over it, and to evaluate and to ask questions about it, to see what does it actually mean, how does it apply to my life, do I practice that, is that my attitude or isn't that my attitude. All these then are the questions that are necessary in order to give to the letter a touch of the spirit. So, as a method, I would say, try that method out, and it's, as far as I have seen it, a very good method to go over our findings. Our findings were up to this point what? We found that spiritualism is a strong belief that rests on the counterfeit of mind that has its basis in human belief, in human hypothesis. It is a hypothesis which does not exist in reality. It's just a hypothesis, and therefore it is that what the human mind produces. We produce really the beliefs of spiritualism and then afterwards believe in it as if it would be something self-existent. So, once found out that spiritualism has its basis in human belief, then the second big question comes up and says, and that human belief is that fundamental belief that opposites, whatever those opposites are, no matter if it's the opposite of divine mind and mortal mind, of spirit and matter, of soul and senses, of principle and person, of life and death, of truth and error, of love and hate, that doesn't matter. The point is that spiritualism is the belief that opposites commune, that opposites blend with each other, that they work together, that they cooperate with each other, that they need each other, so that the spiritual facts of being so to say, need the material senses in order to reveal itself, to manifest itself, to interpret itself, to work in the body, and always showing this blending. So the answer there actually is that opposites do not touch each other, that they are separate, that there is no bridge between them, and that is the answer to it. But spiritualism itself is that which believes in the mingling of opposites, just as we do. Then, in the tone of soul, we could see that then even a higher sense or a more destructive sense is being brought in, that if actually there spiritualism believes that there is a communication between opposites, that therefore then there is a possibility of retrogression, that therefore forward steps can also go back again. If there is a bridge from matter to spirit, then there is also a bridge from spirit to matter, which is retrogression. And so soul that is changeless, that is sinless, that never loses its identity, tells us here in this third big subject, tells us that a retrogression is not possible. That is a spiritualistic belief, but it's not something that is possible in the science of spirit. So that we can never go backward in any way, that there is no relapse in any way, that we are not trying to go back from a spiritual state of things to a material state of things, because, as she said at the end of that subject, there is nothing for spirit to go back to, because there is nothing outside of spirit. Then we had the subject of life, which was so interesting, which also is taking up the question of spiritualism, namely that spiritualism which says that the dead can come back and that there is an intercommunication between the dead, the living and the dead, and showing therefore that the living can resurrect the dead. Here we already come to a kind of a solution by showing, yes, we have to be careful what we consider under resurrection. We cannot resurrect the belief of life in matter. That we cannot do. If we believe that somebody has lived in matter and then died, we cannot resurrect him. It's impossible. Jesus could not resurrect Lazarus on that basis. He only could resurrect Lazarus on the basis that he knew that Lazarus never lived nor died in the body. And so Mrs. Eddy says that every one of us has to get rid of that belief that we have ever, so to say, died into the body, lived in the body, and can die out of the body. That the solution lies there where we see that life has ever been and always been and eternally been spiritual and has never had anything to do with birth, maturity, and decay and death and the grave. So resurrection is actually something that we can practice every day in our lives by resurrecting ourselves out of the belief that we are a spiritualist or a spiritist, both of them, that we resurrect ourselves out of the belief that we are living in matter and that we have to find a way out of it, how to get out of that body and can live afterwards as a spirit. That's a spiritualistic belief. The resurrection takes place right here and now, every day. Paul said, I die daily. He could see that it is a question of seeing that we have never have gone through a birth process, that we actually don't live in our body, that our life is not in our body, that our life is something very different than what the body shows forth, and therefore we begin to understand that we cannot die out of a body because we never live in that body. So only in this way we begin to handle the belief of death. That is showing the arguments of spiritualism. Now, when we come to truth, as I said, there is a break there. The break is that she doesn't show another aspect, so to say, of spiritualism. But what truth always does, that truth shows how we can, that truth shows here how we get really out of the belief of spiritualism itself. So our epitome here sounds very different. We have here an understanding of man's immortal life, and you can see now comes in understanding, and that term understanding recurs 6 times in the text. Again, the epitome reads, an understanding of man's immortal life destroys the consciousness of man's mortal existence. Now, we have here twice the soul and life tone, namely immortal life, soul is immortal life, and on the other side, mortal existence. So again, you hear it's constantly turning around that point of soul and life about what are the true identities of being. Now, at this point, we begin to see that we can destroy the false identities of being or so-called identities of being by a true sense of the identities of being, but that we can only do through understanding. Truth here brings up the demand for understanding the true facts, the true identity of being, and that only in that way we can get rid of spiritualism. In the subject before, in the fifth subject, we could see that understanding science outweighs a universal belief in death. But now in the sixth subject, we really see that this understanding is giving us the true sense of the consciousness of man, and so fills our consciousness with the true content of truth, freeing us through understanding of the belief in spiritualism at all. Now, this question of understanding is presented in a very interesting way here. It doesn't just say, well, understanding will solve everything at once. On the contrary, it is showing that understanding will bring about a step-by-step solution to the question of spiritualism. We will find here renderings recurring, which says, when understood, only then this and this will happen. For instance, when being is understood, when being is spiritually understood, then life will be recognized as God, good. So showing only when we see the truth about reality, only then can we get rid of spiritualism. Or she says, when advanced to spiritual being, only when advanced to spiritual being, and the understanding of God, then man can no longer commune with matter. So again, that sense, when then, giving, so to say, the conditions under which we can free ourselves of spiritualism. Or she says, when divine science is universally understood, only then sin, sickness, and death will have no more power over man. So we will watch that as we then read the text, that this solution is not a sudden solution. It is a step-by-step solution. It's a constantly until then. For instance, the recognition of spirit and of infinity comes not suddenly, here or hereafter. It's not something that just drops out of heaven and says, here it is. Namely, she says, until then, until that understanding or recognition comes, existence continues to be a belief. Existence continues to be a belief. Therefore, until the full recognition of spirit is come and understood, we will always still be spiritualists and suffer under spiritualistic beliefs. Only then, when the recognition of spirit comes, until then, death will occur. So she gives a very definite sense. Don't think that you can make the grade in one moment. It is a question of understanding spirit. Without understanding the fullness of spirit, which does not mix with any opposite, until then death will occur. So death is no savior. And then it will be demonstrated that the second death has no power. So let's keep this in mind, that this is all a question of understanding that will solve spiritualism. Again, I want to stress that and say, we must, as Christian Scientists, if we take the textbook as it is, we must acknowledge that we are still very much molded and formed by spiritualism. And it is not Christian Science to say, well, spiritualism is a funny belief and I don't want to have anything to do with it, and it is an illusion, we just throw it overboard without seeing through it. And even seeing through it is not enough, because the first subject, up to life, has helped us to see through the arguments of spiritualism, but it has not freed us from it. Only with the sixth subject, we have the first step of freeing ourselves from it, and then only in the seventh subject, we really get then that sense that spiritualism is found to be nothing. Only then. So we cannot start with the last subject, with love, where it shows that spiritualism is nothing, and start out with that, because that would be just blind belief and not understanding. That's why this sixth subject is so important, that says we must understand spirit. Then spiritualism can be handled. But just to say it doesn't exist and it's just for phonies, that doesn't do a trick. We still are then under the impact of spiritualism. So, let's see what she means when she says, well, we must have an understanding of man's spiritual, immortal being. What does it mean when we look at it from the point of view of mind, for instance? So we get to the very first subtone where we see, when we reach the understanding that life is infinite. See, that was the tone that was before with Lazarus, that was subject of life, where we began to see that life is infinite. So when we reach the understanding that life is infinite, then we recognize man as idea, and no more as a mortal. Only then, as individual spiritual consciousness. So here we find the first step out of it. Now let's see how Mrs. Eddy depicts that. It is a large paragraph, And perhaps I first read the paragraph slowly with some remarks, and then we go back to it again and see it more in detail, because there is so much in it that needs to be seen. Because we know that understanding means what? If at the point of the sixth day of truth comes in that man is understood, that means that we take in the first and second day and the third day and the fourth day and the fifth day, because that makes up the compound idea man. So usually when we come to truth, we have a feeling that she recapitulates a lot of what has gone before, and that the sum total of what has gone before constitutes the consciousness that is true, a true consciousness, instead of a wrong consciousness. We read here, when being is understood, so we watch out for that term understanding, how that recurs, which he hasn't said before. When being is understood, life will be recognized as neither material nor finite, but as infinite. You see, there is then no more a recognition of spiritualism where life ends in death, as God, universal good. And the belief that life or mind was ever in a finite form, that was spiritualism, as you remember, or good and evil, will be destroyed. So for the first time we have the term what destroys the whole claim of spiritualism. Truth, naturally we know, destroys, but a statement, truth destroys error, is a summary statement that has not much content. We must know why does it destroy and which way does it destroy. So we have to know a bit the finer aspects of it. Then it will be understood, again we have understood, then it will be understood that spirit never entered matter. That, again, you can see that there was never a beginning of spiritualism. So again we have a similar situation as with Lazarus, that we cannot help the dead if we believe that they were once living and dying in a body. And so we cannot help spiritualism when we believe that there was once a time when spirit was entering matter and was therefore never raised from matter. That's the point that we have to see, that there was never a cause for spiritualism to come up as a belief as such. She says, when advanced to spiritual being and the understanding of God, a third time understanding of God, man can no longer commune with matter. Then there is no more an opposite with which to commune. Neither can he return to it any more than a tree can return to its seed. Can you hear? You get again the same symbolism as before. Neither will man seem to be corporeal. What we have seen, a spirit is a corporeal being. But he will be an individual consciousness, just a consciousness, no more a material form, and that is characterized by the divine spirit as idea, not matter. And so for the first time she brings in again the term idea. She only talked about idea there in the introductory sense, where she stated in the first main tone that reality is from mind, that mind creates all in ideas, that these ideas are real and these ideas have identity. And then she began with spiritualism. So since then, she never talked any more about idea, because she could see, in order to show that man as idea can be focused and can be crystallized, we have to get rid of all the arguments and beliefs of spiritualism. So here in truth, she shows the way out of it. Now, I said I will read that through and then come back and read it again. And we read it again with a little bit of in more details in order to see that what she does, as I said, in truth, is usually to recapitulate the preceding insights. So let's start again at point six and see that first she gives the tone of mind, because the very first main tone of mind was that spiritualism is a belief, is a human belief. Here she brings it in and says, when being is understood, life will be recognized as neither material nor finite, but as infinite, as God, universal good, and the belief, now comes the opposite, and the belief that life or mind was ever in a finite form, or good and evil, will be destroyed. Can you see, she recapitulates here the very first main subject, which has shown that. Then comes a second tone, she recapitulates the second main subject of spirit. Then it will be understood that spirit never entered matter, and was therefore never raised from matter. So that was the second main subject, which says spiritualism is the claim that spirit and matter mingle, that spirit enters matter, and that spirit dwells in matter. Then we come to a third point, which recapitulates, when advanced to spiritual being and the understanding of God, man can no longer commune with matter. That's still the second subject, no communion between opposites. Then comes the third main subject, neither can he return to it any more than the tree can return to its seed. That was the symbolism of the third main subject. You remember in soul, that returning, that going backward, the butterfly can't go back to the worm, that the oak tree cannot go back to the acorn. Then he will show we didn't have a tone of principle in the main tone that was left out. Neither will man seem to be corporeal. We come to the fifth main subject, to be corporeal, but he will be an individualized consciousness characterized by the divine spirit as idea, not matter. And that sums up the fifth subject and gives a new answer, that man is therefore an individualized consciousness, that the fifth subject showed that Jesus had that consciousness, that life was never in matter, therefore never could go out of matter. And so we show here that life is an individualized consciousness.